We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, portion of chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We will begin to read at verse 35. We'll read through the end of the chapter. It's a beautiful, familiar chapter regarding the doctrine of the resurrection. We read this passage in connection with the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 22, question 57. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? We hear the word of God, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thus far we read from God's holy word. We call your attention especially to verses 51 and 52 of this passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In harmony with this passage and all of Holy Scripture is the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 22, question and answer 57. It's found on the bottom of page 12 in the back of our Psalter. Page 12. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ, its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as God's children, we know that there is a heavenly home, that we shall enter into that home through death. As soon as this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we know that this house is heavenly, eternal, glorious, in distinction from this present earthly life. We know there will be no more suffering there, no more weakness, no more sorrow, no tears, no night there. What is more, there will be no more sin there. The old sinful flesh will be destroyed forever through death. That will be glory. We shall consciously enjoy the glory of Father's house, even at that moment of death. The essence of that glory will be that we shall be with Christ. We will see Jesus face to face and know him. And in him we shall have unceasing blessed fellowship with our God. Can you conceive of anything more wonderful than this? What comfort! Let the ungodly fear death. Let them weep at the graveside as those who have no hope. Not us. Why should we? Death has no more sting. The grave has no more victory. The moment we close our eyes in death, we open them to the glory of heaven. Death is only our servant to bring us unto God. But there's more to our future. Scripture and our catechism direct our faith to the final resurrection, the resurrection of the body. Because our bodies will lie in the grave. Because all the saints are not yet in glory. Because the public justification of the cause of Christ has not yet taken place. Because this present earth has not yet been purified by fire. And the new creation is not yet. Heaven's joy is not complete. And so Scripture, our catechism, as it focuses upon the Apostles' Creed, fix our faith and hope on the return of Christ and the resurrection of the body. Our faith is directed to the day when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of Jesus and shall come forth. What a wonder! The Apostle Paul asked the question, 1 Corinthians 15, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? The resurrection is not a new creation. Scripture indicates that the same body which is buried shall be raised. We know from the resurrection of Christ that the same body which was crucified came forth through the grave. He showed his disciples plainly the nail prints in his hands and feet and the wound in his side. This truth is also evident from the passage we read in 1 Corinthians 15. The same body that is sown in corruption is raised in incorruption. Difficult for us to conceive of that. And over the years, bodies decompose, become dust. We think of the many saints whose bodies were destroyed, cut asunder, burned at the stake. The resurrection is inconceivable. But he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. In that great day, our bodies shall come out of the graves, be reunited with our souls. And it's in this light that we consider this morning question and answer 57 of our Heidelberg Catechism under the theme, Raised Incorruptible. We notice, first of all, that those bodies, resurrection bodies, will be essentially the same. In the second place, that they are formally glorified. And finally, that they are necessarily heavenly. This passage in 1 Corinthians 15 helps us to understand a little bit what our resurrection bodies will be like. They shall be perfect. Now we are in corruption, subject to all the forces of corruption. Science may discover medicines and medical procedures and speak of slowing the aging process and overcoming various diseases, but the fact remains, we are born in corruption. And in that corruption, we live for a time, and ultimately we die. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But, beloved, we shall be raised in incorruption, beyond the possibility of corruption. There shall be no more disease or death to affect our bodies. Now, our bodies are sown in weakness. We have but a limited amount of strength. One moment we may be healthy and strong, and the next laid low, flat on our backs. And the measure of that strength is 70 years, or if by reason of strength, 80 years, as Scripture says in Psalm 90, 70, 80, a bit more perhaps, or perhaps not that long. But soon we fly away, forgotten as a dream. Even our strength is labor and sorrow. Man is like a candle that burns itself out. Strong for a time in the days of youth perhaps, but it soon, so quickly, gives way to the weakness of old age. But these bodies shall be raised in power. The resurrection body will be infused with the power of the risen Christ. These bodies shall be sown in dishonor. How obvious. We're really ugly. Sin, disease, death leave their marks on all of us. The older we get, the more apparent it becomes. And then we die. And the mortician may try in vain to cover the horror of death. Man's beauty quickly fades before the blast of death. But our bodies shall be raised in glory. All the effects of sin and death gone. We will be clothed with a perfect beauty. We will have a body which reflects the glory of God in Christ. Our bodies are sown a natural body. That's the way they go into the ground. Now we're bound to this earth. We cannot yet see face to face, and we know only in part. The heavenly lies beyond to that which eye hath not seen nor ear heard. But we are raised with spiritual bodies. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our resurrection bodies will be spiritual so that we are able to bear the image of the invisible God. With new eyes, we shall view the glories of God in Christ and fellowship with Him forever. So it becomes plain, so beautifully set forth in 1 Corinthians 15, that these bodies shall be raised. That means, first of all, that the body of the resurrection is not a newly created body. All the works of God are one. The work of redemption in general does not consist in that the Lord creates something absolutely different and absolutely new so that the present bears no relation to the future. This, in fact, is not true with regard to our spiritual resurrection. Regeneration is not a new creation, although the regenerated man, from a spiritual point of view, is an altogether different man. The reborn man doesn't become another being, but is essentially the same man, only spiritually different, spiritually renewed. But he remains the same person in creation, in sin, in redemption, in resurrection. In fact, that's not even true with regard to the new heavens and the new earth, which we certainly expect. Yes, this present world, this earth, will burn with fire fervently. Even the elements will melt, burn with fervent heat, but it will not be a total annihilation. It will not be an essentially new and different creation. And the same is true with regard to our resurrection body. Many arguments have been brought against the possibility of a resurrection body. Our bodies are delivered to complete destruction, and they are put into the grave. They even often become part, no doubt, of other bodies over the centuries. Yet the destruction is not such that the essence of the body does not remain. The resurrection does not consist of an entirely new creation, but disappears in the process of physical death is the earthly form of our present bodies. But the essence of that body remains. It's preserved. And identically, the same body is to be raised. That's why the apostle repeatedly speaks of the body that is raised. And in that connection, we must remember two things. First of all, the body that enters into the grave is to be raised even in such a way that our individuality will enter into the resurrection. Body and soul are really one. They belong together. And therefore, individual bodies belong to individual souls. My soul cannot live in your body, nor can your soul live in my body. They belong together. But in addition, you must also remember that when the apostle speaks of a body that is raised, he refers to a complete transformation of our present body. From a twofold point of view, first of all that belongs to our imperfection as the result of sin and suffering and all the kinds of defects, that shall be no more. And in addition, all that has its origin in the fact that we are of the earth, earthy, must be removed to make room for the spiritual and heavenly. It's clearly expressed in 1 Corinthians 15. Note first of all that the apostle uses a figure, a beautiful figure, when he speaks of the body that is sown, planted, as a seed is planted in the ground. It's referring to our burial. The putting of our body into the grave is a sowing of that body. That's a beautiful thing, a comforting thing. We have to remember that when our loved ones and dear ones are laid to rest, we stand at the graveside. What a comfort. We must remember when we stand at the grave that the body is sown in order to spring forth at that great day when Christ returns. It will reappear in the day of the resurrection in glory. From that point of view, we're thankful that we may continue to have burial. We don't, as God's people, favor cremation. If there is an alternative of a burial, we don't desire that the bodies of dear ones be burned. That's not because, of course, the cremation or the burning of bodies, or no matter what happens to this earthly body, makes any difference, any essential difference with regard to the resurrection. Certainly many of the bodies of the saints have been lost at sea or burned at the stake or cut asunder. Yet they shall all receive their own individual bodies back again and in glory at the resurrection. And even in burial, these bodies return to the dust. We understand that. And yet it is, in the light of Scripture, a beautiful picture. And the body is sown into the ground in the hope that at the resurrection day it shall spring up. We see that throughout the Scriptures the saints were buried. And the Lord himself entered into the grave. How beautiful these bodies might be sown in the faith that presently they will reappear in glory. In that figure of the sowing of the body, the apostle expresses, first of all, that the same body will be raised, the same in kind. When one sows barley, he reaps barley. When one sows wheat, he reaps wheat. And in addition, it also expresses that the body shall be raised as the same body in essence. From the very seed grows the stalk and the ear of corn. And it means also that although the body of the resurrection will be essentially the same as the body that is buried, nevertheless, it will be quite different in form and appearance. Not the body that is sown in nature will presently appear in the same form as the seed that was planted in the ground. On the contrary, it appears presently as the beautiful plant. But even apart from the figure that the body is sown, it's also very evident in the literal language which the apostle uses when he speaks of the body that is raised. It is raised again. That also presupposes that there is no ultimate and complete destruction of the body in the sense that it is annihilated, that it is no more. On the contrary, there is something that is raised from the dead, and therefore it will be a resurrection, not a new creation, only the bodies that are raised will be different from the bodies that are sown. The Apostle Paul speaks of the mystery that takes place, the sounding of the last trumpet. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. The veil is already partially lifted for us from that mystery of the wonder of the resurrection of the body. As we look at the resurrection of Christ. You recall on Friday afternoon, Jesus' body was wrapped limb by limb, prepared for burial, also the torso and head in linen wrappings, laid away in the new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, was sealed. On Sunday morning, nothing of that corpse remained. Nothing but the mute testimony of the empty linen clothes. The resurrection body had left its earthly wrappings. Just as a plant springs forth from a bulb, the tomb was empty, vacated. And shortly after, the risen Lord Jesus appeared to the women, meeting them on the way as they walked home from the tomb. And Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to Peter, to the travelers on the road to Emmaus. And eventually they all recognized him as the Jesus they had known and loved. Some even were permitted to touch him. When they questioned whether it was he would show them the nail holes in his hands and feet. He would prove to them that he was no ghost by eating in their presence. Jesus had a real body, the same body as before, and yet at the same time it had undergone a tremendous, amazing change. It was no more bound to time and place. Closed. Even locked doors could not prevent him from entering a room. Suddenly, the risen Lord Jesus would make himself visible to the disciples. And just as suddenly, he faded out of sight at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus repeated the miracle of the large catch of fishes. Again, as before, he called them to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And yet the disciples were still struggling to understand the change that had overcome him. Even when he was not present, he still knew that Thomas had questioned his resurrection. There were mysteries that seemed beyond human understanding. The Apostle John expresses the thoughts of the other disciples quite clearly when he writes, and none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Yeah, they knew it was Jesus, and yet they wondered. They were filled with amazement. They still had many questions. After 40 days, Jesus left them, entered into the cloud of glory before their very eyes, so that they could testify that they had seen the risen Lord enter into heaven. Beloved, our present earthly bodies will be conformed unto the glorious body that Christ now possesses in heaven. This mortal body, subject to sickness, weakness, affliction, death, from the moment that we entered this world, yea, from the time of our conception, this body will be raised to live forever. This corruptible body, now burdened with weakness, sicknesses, injuries, diseases, will be raised in incorruption. After that great day, No one will ever again complain, I don't feel well, I'm sick, my leg hurts. This natural body that sees only earthly things, hears only earthly sounds, speaks only an earthly language, will be raised to live a perfect life in heavenly fellowship and glory. Now we know in part, then we shall know as we are known. Now we're still subject to sin, and all sin will be foreign to us. Already, in the days of the apostle, the question was raised, how can these things be? Faith answers, we expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, who will change our vile bodies, that is, the bodies of our present humiliation, into the likeness of his exalted, glorious body. How do we know? Our exalted Savior is given power to subdue all things unto himself, even forever. And thus, our resurrection bodies shall necessarily be heavenly. Like as all men have their origin in their earthly bodies, in the one earthly man, Adam, so all men in Christ have their heavenly bodies from the heavenly man, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so it's not a mere question of likeness, but of origin. All the earthy, that is, all people, receive their nature, their earthly nature, their body, from the one man, Adam. And because this earthly nature of Adam is out of the earth, earthy, all the natures of all peoples are like his. And if there were no other source, and if nothing else could really be said, there could be no resurrection from the dead. For the dust returns to the dust. Beloved, the heavenly are like the second man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only this, but we have our origin in him. Who are these that are heavenly? Because they have their origin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, not everyone. Salvation is not universal. But they are those whom God hath chosen from before the foundation of the world. They are his elect, those given to Christ, and therefore they are called heavenly. For they are known, foreknown, foreordained in God's decree as those that are heavenly. God beholds his own people in Christ Jesus from all eternity as those who are heavenly. And in addition, notice that they are also heavenly because they receive the beginning of their heavenly life even now, in the present time, in this present world. Believers, according to Scripture, are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And they are heavenly because the whole course, the whole direction of their life is heavenward. That's true according to Scripture. Scripture tells us that when the earthly house of this tabernacle shall be dissolved, they shall nevertheless be reunited with their bodies at the time of that final resurrection from the dead. And so the apostle may say that as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Principally, they are like Christ. They have their origin in him. like Christ in the spiritual sense of the word. Through the Spirit of Christ, they have new life, the life of regeneration. And they will be like Christ, therefore heavenly, in the day of the final resurrection. And so the Apostle Paul answers the objection of those who would deny the resurrection of the body, deny even the possibility of the resurrection. If you want to explain the saints, you must explain them from Christ. He means to say you're utterly mistaken. If you try to explain the people of God, if you try to explain the resurrection of the body from earthy factors, you must explain them from the heavenly power of Christ. That heavenly power of Christ will take hold of our earthly remains, that dust even. Those earthly remains, Christ will make like unto his most glorious body, so that we may be with him even forever. Notice too that the apostle speaks in the passage we read of this fact. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That term image certainly refers to a likeness in appearance. But it's not just a superficial likeness, but a likeness that is rooted in an essential likeness of our entire nature. In that likeness, we shall bear the image of the heavenly, according to the apostle. We have borne the image of the earthy. God created us after his own image. But remember, even that image of God as Adam possessed it in paradise was an earthly image. But in addition, that image of God with which Adam was created was not only lost, but it was turned into its very opposite, the image of the devil. And that's true, of course, of the entire man. Although the reference is here especially to the body. And therefore, by the power of Christ and through the grace of God, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. We shall be transformed after the image of Christ Jesus himself, so that we shall bear the image of God. But in that great day, in heavenly glory and splendor, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him face to face. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. And the standpoint is the hour of the resurrection of the body. We have borne the image of the earthy. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. Although that's true, we can also say that in principle, we have already been transformed after the heavenly image of Christ in the spiritual sense of the word. Nevertheless, it's certainly true that our bodily image is yet earthy and corruptible and weak and in dishonor. But beloved, in that great day, in the hour of the resurrection, that image of the heavenly shall be perfected in us. And so we can stress the word shall, in the sense that we surely shall bear, body and soul, the image of the heavenly, even forever. As surely as we now bear in our body the image of the earthy, so surely we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And therefore, beloved, even as we principally already have the image of the heavenly within, in our soul. So let us also manifest that image of the heavenly in the present state, in this present world, as we look for the final coming of our Savior, when we all shall bear the perfect image of the heavenly. That's our faith, is it not? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Is that your joy? Your strength, your comfort in this life of sorrow and death? Let us look away from this life. Look up to the Lord Jesus. Hear and believe his blessed words, I am the resurrection and the life. I am he who laid down his life for you, removed your sin and guilt, gained for you the victory. Let us look unto him and sing with the psalmist, I shall not die, but live and tell the wonders of my God. Especially at those times when we are burdened, discouraged, filled with grief, even as we face the last enemy. Lay hold upon the precious truth that death has no sting and the grave has no victory. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, what amazing things thou hast held before us from thy word in this morning hour. Things beyond our puny earthly comprehension. We can but praise and thank thee, for faith lays hold upon these things. Yea, the wonder of the resurrection of the body. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. We ask this all with the remission of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.